Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast of your still in third place Miami Dolphins. That's right, we're still in third place despite losing three games in a row, three games in prime time, one on Thursday night, one on Sunday night, and of course this past Monday against the Carolina Panthers. We have now dropped to 4-5, still ahead of the New York Jets, who are in the cellar of the AFC East, and one game behind the Buffalo Bills, who are the sixth seed in the AFC altogether, which would mean they're in the playoffs. I am Sam Marcoux. He is Chris Cullen. Chris, you were actually at this game on Monday where we lost 45-21 to the Panthers, your most hated team outside of the AFC East rivals. How are you feeling, buddy?
Oh, man. If it wasn't for SmackDown on Tuesday, which my buddy DJ, shout out to him, gave me free tickets. He couldn't go. His fiance had pneumonia. Awesome seats in front of the hard camera. Middle of the ring was an amazing experience. Go home show for Survivor Series. Raw invaded. It was absolutely incredible on Tuesday, which was great because I needed that, because Monday left a goddamn sour taste in my mouth beyond belief, man.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, I actually saw you at SmackDown. I saw you on TV. You got, there was a pan of the audience, and I saw you and Zachary Thomas Cullen in the crowd having a good time. But man, like you said, you needed it, because after Monday, yes, we scored 21 points. Yes, we finally got our first rushing touchdown on the season by Kenyon Drake, a 60-plus yard scamper for him. But God, man, the defense over the last three games has given up over 100 points. I think 112 points in the last three games, which averages to about 37 points a game. This was supposed to be the part of the team that was holding us up as the offense started to find itself. And now that the offense is finally starting to score over 20 points a game, we can't stop a team from scoring 30 plus a game, Chris.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I think Adam Gase calls so many screens in the game because it probably works really good during practice, because our defense is horrible stopping the screen. In practice, he's probably like, this is a fucking incredible play. I can't wait to call this on Sunday.
Why and is nobody else doing this? We can't be stopped.
Other legitimate defenses are like, yeah, 1 yard gain or tackle for loss. Like, what are you guys doing? But I mean, our defense is terrible, man. Like, people are discussing cutting Cam Wake and like walking away from him. He hasn't done much in a few weeks. There's no pass rush at all. We didn't get to Cam Newton at all on Monday. Other than TJ McDonald almost catching that interception there at the goal line. He didn't bring anything else different to the table that made any kind of difference at all. And I think the most frustrating thing about hating the Panthers as much as I do and living here and seeing the bandwagon fans that come around and talk so much shit when their team's doing good but disappear and become Cowboy fans when they're bad is it just like the pure fact that I'm listening to 610 The Fan, which is a local sports radio show here in Charlotte, and all they talked about leading up to this game was they hope the offense can put something together. They've been so inconsistent. Cam needs to make the throws, and we need to get a running game going, and our offensive line is really bad. We need to protect Cam Newton. I don't think it's going to happen. And they come out and we make them look like world beaters. We make them look like world beaters. It was unbelievable, Sam. It was embarrassing. It was disgusting. I mean, the money that was spent, the time wasted, my wife getting off work early, Zachary coming home after the much-discussed change of allegiance. Zachary's a big Dolphins fan. I had to sit next to this poor kid and look at him. He's looking at me every time they score, and he's just embarrassed, and you feel it for him. And it's like, I feel like a bad parent for even, like, putting him through that and making him or like, supporting him rooting for the Miami Dolphins. They're just letting us all down.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, we kind of joked on the last game. I predicted them to win and said they'd be 5-4 and we'd have no idea what this team is. And I was half right in that they did not win, obviously. They lost badly. But I still don't know what this team is. I mean, they are a half game out of last place in the AFC East, but they're also a game out of being in the playoffs once again as the sixth seed like they were last year. I mean, it seemed to me like the team actually physically gave up in the second half of the game against the Panthers. I mean, you don't just allow the team to have their third string running back run all over you like that if you just don't have the will to tackle anymore. But at the same time, like, you look at the season and you look at the landscape and you go, God, they're really not that far out of being a playoff contender. So what gives? I mean, what is the problem, Chris? I just don't understand what the problem is. I understand individual performances and the fact that our defense over the last three games has been awful, but what is the overall just fucking issue with this team right now?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, we have talent, but we have a first-year defensive coordinator. He's running a what seems to be a very vanilla and basic defense. And, you know, I'm not going to take Adam Gase at his word. You know, I know this guy knows football, obviously. I mean, way more than I do, of course. I mean, this is what this guy does. He burns the midnight oil. He's the head coach of an NFL football team. I never even dream of sniffing anywhere close to that profession. But when he says that, you know, he blames the players and, like, they have to simplify things and stuff like that. I'm sorry, but there's nothing simple about blitzing Rashad Jones every once in a while or doing a stunt or blitzing our linebackers. It seems like Matt Burke has a very vanilla defense considering the players that we have, the veteran players that we have on the field, other than our two corners, Tankersley and Howard, who have a combined 3 years of experience. Everybody else is a five-plus year vet. I mean, get out there and change it up a little bit. They're making it way too easy. And Cam Newton looked like 2015 Cam Newton, to be honest, the MVP, like the way he was running, the way he was throwing. We had no answer for this guy. We didn't get in his face. We didn't hit him. And that was that's the way you beat that guy and beat that offense. And then looking at our offense in general, Jay Cutler, again, missing throws. Our weapons aren't really anything.
Man, he looked terrible with some of those throws.
Bad.
I mean, I don't even know where those balls were going. I mean, I would say he looked like Jay Fiedler, but then Jay Fiedler would get a hold of us and say, hey, man, don't insult me like that. I mean, he looked, in some cases, like I was starting to think what you'd said many times on this show, Chris, which is there's something wrong with his shoulder or his throwing arm. Because I've never seen Jay Cutler in any form or fashion, whether he was with the Broncos or the Bears, up until this season, make some of the throws that he made Monday night where they were just, I mean, they weren't tipped. He wasn't hit. He was clean in the pocket and the ball just, I don't know. It just went to a place that no one was.
Well, and I think that's where Adam Gase is losing a little bit of favor with the fans of the Miami Dolphins. Now, I don't agree with the extremists saying that he needs to lose his job or you know, maybe Gase isn't the answer. I'm not saying that at all. I think Adam Gase is still a very good, young, smart head coach that has had a lot of bad luck this year after getting a lot of good luck his first year. I mean, we won a lot of comeback games last year against bad teams on a good stretch where we got a little lucky. And I think we all knew that coming in. Anybody from the outside looking in that was honest with themselves knew that coming in. So, yeah, of course, we're expecting a little hiccup this year. But the one thing that's waning on our extremist fans, I guess I'll say, is Adam Gase continues to back up Jay Cutler and not say one thing bad about this guy. Meanwhile, blaming the O-line, trading Jay Ajayi. Clyde Christensen called out Devontae Parker today. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter. And Parker had, yeah. So Clyde Christensen said something like he needs to get his juice back or something that he had in the training camp. And Parker was completely amiss and was like, nothing's changed other than I've been injured. What do you mean? Like, so there's already that disconnect from the coaches and they're calling these guys out. But meanwhile, Jay Cutler is just like riding off in the sunset when he's got all these weapons. He had time to throw. And I understand it's the number one defense in the league, but I was there in person, Sam, and there was wide open guys that he was just skying the ball over his head or bouncing it at their ankles. To be completely honest, I felt like that, like Cam Newton and Jay Cutler switched places. Because that's what Cam Newton's known for is skying and overthrowing guys or bouncing them and short-arming the ball. It was just not a sight that we were used to seeing with Jay Cutler. And it's more of the same, really, all season. Like you said, I've been mentioning it all year. I think something's wrong with his shoulder. It's either fatigued or it's re-injured. I mean, he just had surgery months ago. So, and I think Adam Gase is protecting him both in public and with his play calling.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. He seems to cut out everyone other than the quarterback, in this case, Jay Cutler. Maybe that's why quarterbacks love him so much, is the fact that, you know, look, he's going to go to bat for them every single time. Now, there are people out there that deserve some criticism. Julius Thomas had himself a touchdown in this game. But, man, he looks fat. He looks slow. He doesn't look like a guy that we are going to have on this team beyond this season. Matter of fact, Chris, on Twitter, at Perfectville Pod, you can follow us there. Finn's Life, his title is at @lit_Finn's. Put, I'd rather have Brandon Albert's jockstrap than Julius Thomas at this point.
Fair argument.
Yeah, it is a fair argument, because you know why? Brandon Albert's jockstrap at least is good for two balls a game. Julius Thomas is not a guy that I want to see on the Miami Dolphins after this season. I don't even want to see him on the team this season anymore, but we're stuck with him at this point. Anthony Fasano is persona non grata. Other than one touchdown catch, I don't know what Anthony Fasano has actually brought to this team. He was supposed to be a good run-blocking tight end. In fact, he was rated the top run-blocking tight end as of last year, and he hasn't done shit for us in the run. run game this year. Devontae Parker is inconsistent with his health. Jarvis Landry is getting 4 yards a catch at this point. Kenny Stills went out with a back injury today. He's been pretty much non-existent. So our biggest weapons that we have, which is our pass-catching ability, we haven't been able to utilize. Why? Well, for a number of reasons, like I just pointed out. But first and foremost, it's because Jay Cutler and Matt Moore, to that point, have been terrible at the quarterback position, yet our head coach, Adam Gase, and I agree with you, he's allowed at least one more year. I think if he has one good year, one bad year, you have a third year and you kind of figure it out from there.
Oh, yeah.
But that does not change the fact that Adam Gase has been continually supporting bad quarterback play with positive comments. And I really don't unless he can shed light and point something out that the rest of us aren't seeing, I really don't understand why it's almost impossible for him to criticize Jay Cutler in this situation. I know they're buddies. I get it. It's hard to, you know, talk shit about your friends, but my God, man, everyone can see it. Everyone can see it. I know he can see it. I just don't know what the disconnect is with him and verbalizing it.
Well, and it's just so odd too, because I mean, he had time to throw. I don't even know if he was sacked at all in the game. If so, it was in garbage time at the end when I was either too blacked out or left the stadium to even remember it. But you know, Cutler had time to throw. He was protected in the pocket, and he was just skying or bouncing passes that he normally made in his career. And it's so weird to see, because it's just one of those things where, like you said, it's his friend. It's his buddy. He came back and had to persuade him, per Jeff Darlington, when this happened, he had to persuade him to get Cutler out of the booth and back on the field. And, of course, there's going to be those growing pains. He wasn't in a full training camp. We get that. But when you got these weapons and you're watching highlights of Jay Cutler when he's on the Broncos, when he's on the Bears, slinging it down the field, and then you see Travis Wingfield posting on Twitter that the Panthers completely had no respect for Jay Cutler on Monday, putting 8 or 9 guys in the box when we had 3 wide receivers, Sam. Wide receivers, and they had 9 guys in the box because they didn't care. It was Jay Cutler back there, and they knew he wasn't going to beat them. And they like you said, we know, the outside knows, other teams know. But Adam Gase is still talking like he's not the problem, and that's the thing that's really pissing everybody off.
Yeah, it really is. You know what else pisses me off is that over the last 11 primetime games, the Miami Dolphins are now 1-10. I don't ever want to hear another Miami Dolphin complain about the Miami Dolphins getting disrespected by ESPN, NFL.com, the NFL Network, or any sports pundit that's out there at all. This team does not show up. When they do show up, they throw up all over their shoes, all over their pants, all over the national television audience. Okay, they got shut out 40-0 to a bad Baltimore Ravens team on Thursday night 2 weeks ago. They lost to a bad Oakland Raiders team 27-24 on Sunday Night Football in their own house. The first time they've been on Sunday Night Football in forever. And you know what? Thank God nobody saw it because nobody wanted to tune in because everybody knows what we know, which is we suck when it comes to primetime games. And then we lose 45-21 to the Carolina Panthers, who are 7-3 but are about the softest 7-3 I've ever seen in my life. This team is not ready for primetime. They are Saturday Night Live in football form. They are not ready for primetime players. I hope we don't get any more primetime games next year. I don't want to go to London. I don't want to play on Thursday. I want to play on Sunday night. I want a 10 a.m., 1 p.m. start every single week next week. That's what I want for the Miami Dolphins. I want us to go under the radar. I don't want anybody looking at us. I don't want anybody putting any sort of cameras there. Just put it on the radio and let them play football, because obviously it's too much pressure when the bright lights are on them. So as far as I'm concerned, every fan that we have that complains about this team being disrespected, shut up. Shut up right now, because you don't know what you're talking about. This team deserves to be disrespected. They've been disrespecting you as a fan for far too long.
And that's the bottom line. Why? Because old Stone Cold said so. Thank you very much, you son of a bitch.
I don't have much to add to that, Sam. That was absolutely everything I thought. It was perfect. And it's so embarrassing that I'm sitting at home on Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday morning, and I refuse. I'm watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Sam. I'm not watching SportsCenter or NFL Network because I'm too embarrassed. I don't want to see what these pundits, who I really don't respect and don't like anyway, but I used to have the same complaints. They never talk about us. They never respect us. They never talk about Tannehill. They never talk about Ajayi and how good a job that Gase is doing. He's not in the running for Coach of the Year, and he should be. Oh, they should be talking about this. No. Not now. We are so bad. 1-11 is absolutely a shit show for our last few primetime games. There's guys like Steve Young, Randy Moss, Steve Levy, these guys that are big name guys, former players and big wigs at ESPN that don't watch the Dolphins on a daily basis. So when we're on national TV and we're putting out performances like we're doing, all that's doing is adding fuel to the fire to not respect us. So like Sam said, stop complaining about it. We haven't earned anything.
No, we haven't. You know, you did earn a hangover at this game, Chris, and I don't want to harp on this game any further, but how was the experience before the game? I know you went there pumped. You were wearing your Dolphins gear. I did follow you on Twitter at ChrisC561. You seem to be drinking quite a bit for a Monday, even for a football. So good for you. This team allows us to drink anytime and every time because of how they play, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. And that was the case on Monday. It was definitely ugly and bad. So how was the experience before the game, Chris? I know you were planning on having some fun.
Yeah, terrible. It was terrible. So I was supposed to be going to a tailgate for the Miami Dolphins. So it's some kind of Miami Dolphins fan group put on this big ass tailgate where you pay $10 and you can get all you can eat wristband. Okay, keep that in mind. All you can eat.
Got it.
Or you can pay $30 and it's all you can eat and all you can drink booze.
Okay.
Well, I brought my own booze, so no worry about it. I brought a little fifth of vodka to share between my wife and I. We just did the $10 one, okay? $10.
Makes sense.
So I show up, and we get to the place, okay? So it's outside on a patio outside of a bar. It's cold here in Charlotte on Monday night. It was like maybe 40 degrees, 39. So that's cold. And yeah, okay, call me a pussy. I'm from South Florida. I was born in Fort Myers. Like, I grew up in South Florida my whole life. I don't care how long you live here. I don't care who you are. It's just ridiculous. I wear shorts when it's cold. Look, 39 is cold.
I'm happy to call you a pussy, but that is cold. So yeah, you were a cold pussy, that's for sure.
Thank you. So, okay, we get in line at this place. We tell them our name. We paid her $10. We got a wristband. They put a big F on my left hand, which was obviously an omen to our night coming forward as a failure of a franchise. But I get in line, and we are sitting there for, and I'm not kidding, Sam, I'm not exaggerating, over an hour. We're
wow.
In line. By the time we get up to the front, now my wife, here's the cool thing, and this is the only thing that was worth it, and it's not because of the experience being a well-done event. This is actually proves otherwise. My wife kept getting free beers because there was a bar next to the line, and she went up and they looked at her wristband and they didn't check the F on her hand and thought she was one of the people that paid the $30 for beers.
Oh wow!
So she gave her a couple of Miller Lights, but Miller Lights free beer, and you know, we had vodka beforehand, so we're getting pretty nice and buzzed in this line. Plus we're hungry. Plus we've been just standing still in the cold in the dark with a fucking DJ, Sam, playing ridiculous rap and techno music as loud as can be. And here's the thing that gets me so mad. I brought over 10 sip sacks from our Ronde Baxton to hand out. I was hoping to see some fans. Hillbilly Bren, he messaged me. He was coming down from North Carolina, wherever he is. He's like 3 hours away. I was excited maybe to possibly meet him. I thought we'd be mingling with fans. That's what you do. You're fans of a team. We're the away team. We got a brotherhood. We got to get together. Nope. They play loud-ass DJ techno music the entire time in the dark with strobe lights. Meanwhile, you can't hear the person next to you even whisper, so I'm holding all these koozies. I can't even talk to anybody.
My God.
By the time I get to the food, Sam, they run out. They run out. I had been in line for an hour and paid $10 for a fucking all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-eat wristband, and I got nothing.
Wow.
There was mixed sides, nothing. They tried to rush. You knew that they were, like, really panicking because the game was still maybe an hour or two away. 6 o'clock, 6:30 at this time, and they pull out these chickens and these chicken legs and chicken thighs and throw them in. They're smoked, like smoked barbecue. I take one bite out of this chicken leg, Sam, red and bloody inside. It's not even done. It's not even done. So, A, they run out of food. They didn't refund our money. Kept our money. That's fun. Hey, Dolphins Club, that's fun. We don't have our money. And then here's the best part. I get my food, and before I realize it's raw, I take one step behind the DJ to get out of line, and I hear somebody grab my shoulder and say, "Hey, buddy, stay in your party." And I turn around, and the bar next to this restaurant is having their own event, and they didn't want any pleb-ass Dolphins leaking in there and sprinkling their bullshit all over their party. So I said, "Oh, you want me to stand 4 inches to the right?" And he's like, "Yeah." I said, "Cool." And, you know, I was a real smart ass. I'm already drunk. I'm pissed off I didn't get food. So I took like 3 steps to the left and I said, "Here we go." I went 4 inches to the right. I'm out of your party. And the guy says, "Hey, chill out, man." I said, "What are you going to do? Kick me out?" And he goes, "Yeah, I am. Hey, officer." And the officer was right next to him, and the cop grabbed me by the shoulder and told me to leave.
Wow.
So But here's the best part. I'm holding my wife's clear NFL-approved Miami Dolphins bag that she can bring into the game with our tickets and all this stuff. My brother has a picture. I'll send it to you. We'll retweet it out. My brother has a picture of me standing 10 feet away from the party, so I'm off their premises, standing there eating my raw chicken with a beer in between bones in my little tray I'm holding my wife's clear purse with this face like, fuck you, this whole party sucks, the guy next to the party sucks. And little did I know I was about to go into the game and see us get absolutely embarrassed on national TV. So all around, horrible night.
Wow, the F definitely stands for failure on that one. And that's, you know what, if I've ever seen a transition in my life that's a natural one, it's that one. We might as well do welcome to the NFL right now. So without further ado, after that shit show of a story about the pregame at the Carolina Panthers Miami Dolphins Monday night affair, we might as well get right into welcome to the NFL. And this week, Chris, what I was going to talk about when it comes to failure in the NFL is, of course, the New York Giants and their franchise.
You know, and then one other thing about the game, not only was the pregame so bad, and I got kicked out of a party hosted by the Miami Dolphins, terribly, by the way, and didn't give us money, but I'm in this stadium, and my wife almost gets beat up by a Panther fan, a man. So here's the best part. Let me break this down for you, Sam. My wife, drunk. I'll be honest. Charlotte was drunk. And she's sitting with my brother, her brother-in-law, and me and Zachary sat in the rich seats, so to speak, because we got free tickets. That's what you do when you're here in Charlotte, a big Monday night game. Tickets get given away because these wine and cheese fans don't actually want to go because they're not real fans. You'll understand that if you lived here. They were voted, I think, the worst fans in the NFL by some kind of Forbes or somebody very recently. So there you go. That explains it. Meanwhile, Charlotte, my wife, is sitting with my brother in the nosebleeds. There's a woman every time anything predominantly positive happened for the Carolina Panthers. I'm talking 3 yards. Screamed bloody murder in my brother's ear, sitting behind him, saying, all night, woo, woo, all night, all night. And there's a guy with her. And my brother left to go to get another beer and go to the bathroom. And the guy got in my wife's face and said, what are you going to do about it, bitch?
Wow.
And my wife is drunk and she's Italian. And if you know that combination, she said, are you serious? What did you just say to me? And he repeated himself as my brother was walking back down the stairs and he stopped and started watching the game. So my wife stands up and calls him out for being a little pussy, for not saying it in front of my brother, who's now there and in person. And the guy told her she doesn't know what she's talking about. This was the experience the entire time. Meanwhile, my dad, brother, and his friend from South Florida are up in the other nosebleeds across with some Dolphins fans, some Panther fans. Same thing. Guy getting in his face, dabbing in front of my dad. Who dabs at an NFL football game? He walked down the aisle to do it. He ended up getting kicked out because they almost fought. These fans were absolute AIDS, Sam. It was terrible, terrible experience. They're fair weather. It was unbelievable. It was cold. We're getting killed. And meanwhile, we're taking time out of our schedule, money out of our pockets, driving to Charlotte from Monroe, North Carolina, to come watch the Miami Dolphins do some kind of semblance of football play on the field. And we're the ones sitting in the crowd getting shit on by these wine and cheese former Cowboy and Redskin fans, because if you're over the age of 35, you are a fan of another football team before the Panthers existed, so you are not a real fan, and I'll call you out for it all day, all night. I did it in the Hateful 28, and I'll do it again, baby. Woo!
Chris Cullen with the hot tag on the welcome to the NFL. You know what? Sorry, New York Giants fans. You guys' season sucks so bad that I can't even acknowledge it on my own show because Chris, with the huge interruption, just blasting the Charlotte Panthers into oblivion. I got to tell you what, Chris, they may think they're good fans. You know they're not. I know they're not. And the reason why I know they're not is because as a Dolphins fan, I'm very aware of when there's empty seats in the arena. And looking at that stadium, there was a lot of Carolina Panther fans dressed as seats in that game.
Always. They're always like that. And, you know, it's one of those things where I see all the time they try to like, oh, God, I just remembered something, Sam. I was walking to the tailgate and I got a fins up from a guy. Ready? I got a fins up from a guy. And I was like, hey, cool, fins up. He had a Dolphins jersey on. No, he didn't. He turned sideways. He had a half jersey on.
Oh.
It was split, one side Dolphins, and then on the other side, after I passed him and saw the other part that was a Panther jersey, he said, keep pounding.
Dude,
I wanted to vomit on my face, eat it, and vomit it again. It was so ridiculous that this guy was like, hey, fins up, keep pounding. I'm a fan of both teams. Woohoo! That's the kind of fan. That's like 60 to 75% of the fan base of Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Carolina Panthers. It is absolutely deplorable.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a Dolphanther guy. You have to pick one or the other. And you know what? We don't want you in Miami. We don't want you in South Beach. We don't want you in Perfectville. So go ahead and stick there in Charlotte. Go ahead and keep pounding that half jersey because you're not part of us. That's for sure. Man, I'm sorry that was a bad experience for you. You know what? We don't need to talk about it anymore. We can bury that in the backyard of Ric Flair. This team, 4-5, Chris, we mentioned it at the top of the show. They're still above the New York Jets, who are at 4-6. They're one game behind the 5-4 Buffalo Bills, who have looked pretty bad themselves over the last couple of weeks. So bad, in fact, they have now benched their starting quarterback of a team that, if the playoffs were to start today, they would be in the playoffs. So they have their own problems. What I'm saying here, Chris, is that the season isn't looking great right now with a three-game losing streak. The offense hasn't looked good all season. The defense is starting to shit the bed over the last three games. But the season isn't over. We were supposed to have a bye this week. We're not going to have a bye this week. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week, which is sort of a bye. But then again, I made that joke week two against the Jets, and then we got our dicks kicked in. So I'm not going to make that joke. I don't know what to make of this team, of the Miami Dolphins. I don't know what to make of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I do know that they're going to be without their starting quarterback, which means that Ryan Fitzpatrick is coming back from the dead once again to fuck the Miami Dolphins, because that's what he's done time and time again, whether he's been on the Texans, the Bills, the Jets, the fucking Houston Oilers. It doesn't matter. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been in the league for 45 years, and every single time his number gets called against the Miami Dolphins, he throws for 475 yards, 78 touchdowns, and no interceptions. So I'm not sure what to expect from the Dolphins this week, but I'm pretty sure I'm expecting Ryan Fitzpatrick to look like the fucking MVP of the league against the Miami Dolphins defense this week. Speaking of this game, Chris, we might as well get into the Finjury Report for the Miami Dolphins. That's right, the Finjury Report is back. Of course, William Hayes, defensive end extraordinaire, and Sonoris Perry, as well as Ndamukong Suh, did not practice on Wednesday, Chris, with knee issues. They had limited practice today on Thursday. You also had Jarvis Landry with a chest and knee issue, Bobby McCain with a hamstring problem, and Michael Thomas with a knee injury. They were limited in practice. And then they also had Jermon Bushrod with a shoulder injury, Mike Hull with a shoulder injury, and Rashad Jones with a groin and shoulder injury, all listed as full participants. So they are looking like they're getting on the mend. Thank God Mike Hull and his shoulder injury of apartment lifting is almost over. One injury that came up today, Chris, which I think is a concern because he wasn't available for interviews after practice, was Kenny Stills. I mentioned earlier, he went out with a back injury. He was not available for comment afterwards, which means he probably went to go get some sort of treatment. It's Thursday. He has a bad back. Jarvis Landry has a bad knee and chest, and Devontae Parker has a bad life, according to his offensive coordinator. And that is your Finjury Report for the Miami Dolphins against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday.
Yeah, a lot going on. It's perfect timing for a bye week. Too bad we don't have one. Thanks, Hurricane Irma. But, yeah, we're going to have to – they're in the same situation in Tampa. I mean, they're playing – as you forementioned, Jameis Winston's not playing. I don't know if that's a great thing for us, so to speak. I think they're getting Mike Evans back from his one-game suspension from the bullshit hit he had against the Saints 2 weeks ago. Tampa looks lost. I mean, like, they barely beat the Jets on this absolute horrible game. It was so bad. Like, it was just – put it this way. I watched – obviously, the Dolphins played Monday, so I watched Sunday Red Zone. NFL Red Zone all day. I just kept that on. Out of like the five games playing, I think in the entire first half, the Red Zone didn't even go to the Jet and Tampa game once.
Yeah. No,
like not one time. Like there was no reason to. It was like 3-0. Like they traded interceptions. Like it was just so horrible. But that's not going to be the case on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Tampa's going to roll our ass through fucking flour and fry us in a frying pan because Fitzpatrick is going to absolutely torch us. It's if we can't get pressure, and he has like this weird smart old man feet where he's like very mobile for how he looks, and he's going to just absolutely torch us, man. Like I know you said that you don't know what's going on with this team, but I think I'm ready to call already this team. We are a 5-11, 6-10 team this year. Like I don't think we're going to win many more games coming up. Like yeah, the Bills lost to the Saints. Saints are rolling right now, and it started with us. their winning streak, by the way, where their defense is playing good. They traded a Stephon Anthony. I don't think he's been active once, so I'm glad we're trading for these people and trading Jay Ajayi for stuff that's not helping us this year. They're steamrolling right now, and they beat the Bills. Yes, 7 touchdown runs, and they, for some reason, benched Tyrod Taylor. I mean, maybe that's one franchise that's worse than ours. Like he doesn't play safety. I don't understand why he got benched. But we got to play them twice. We got to play the Patriots twice. We got to play the Chiefs. We got to play the Broncos, who aren't doing too well. I don't see us winning more than like 2 more games. Because honestly, we've seen too much now, Sam. We have weapons. We've seen it against good teams. We've seen it against bad teams. We just can't get anything going on offense. Something's wrong with Jay Cutler, or something's wrong with Adam Gase. Maybe both. I don't know. But we don't have a great offensive line, and our defense just seemed like they quit on Monday. That right there pairs together for a disaster. That's not how we looked last year. That's how we won 6-7 games in a row. We never quit. We kept coming back. We kept fighting. We went to the very end and won games in comeback fashion. This year, we're absolutely getting steamrolled. I mean, like you mentioned, 100-plus points we've given up in 3 weeks. That's a team that quit. We're not going to just turn it on all of a sudden because there's a few games left. I think there's no bye week. Everything's come together to just be a horrible season as far as injuries, the hurricane, no bye week. It's just I'm wrapping this thing up, man. I don't think there needs to be any other discussion as far as will we or won't we? What kind of team is this? I think we've shown enough on tape that we're just a bad football team.
I find it kind of ironic that we traded for Stephon Anthony to replace Lawrence Timmons, who disappeared on the Miami Dolphins, and then Lawrence Timmons comes back, and Stephon Anthony replaces Lawrence Timmons by disappearing and never playing for the Miami Dolphins. There's a little sense of irony in that whole trade and scenario right there. But you heard it here, folks. Chris Cullen, by the way, is probably one of, in terms of the long-term vision, you are probably one of the more optimistic Dolphins I've ever met. Maybe not in-game. In-game, you're hilarious because you get mad, you throw beer bottles, you kick cats, you do everything that most Dolphins do. But you usually have a positive outcome and a positive outlook when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. I am actually the one that's the pessimist that says we ain't shit. You're ready to give up on the season. I mean, that's kind of shocking, but that tells you what this Miami Dolphins team has done to Chris Cullen and the Miami Dolphins fan base this season. I mean, the expectations were so high coming into this season, probably too high, especially after Ryan Tannehill went down. I think, realistically, once Ryan Tannehill went down, we had to probably check ourselves, take a step back and say, we're not going to do anything this season. Let's just try to develop the younger players and see what we have going into next season. But we didn't do that. We tried to salvage it. I can commend everyone for trying to salvage the season by getting Jay Cutler, by trying to string some wins together by any way you can until Jay Cutler and the offense could catch back up. But it's taking its toll. Everything you said is just taking its toll. We have injuries on the offensive line that we can't recover from. We have a running back that's been traded that was apparently a malcontent. We've got a wide receiving core that's being underutilized. We have tight ends that are garbage. We have a defense that is tired and literally has no break between now and the rest of the season. It does, especially when you combine that with the season that seems to be backloaded with talented teams like the Patriots, like the Bills, like the Chiefs, even like the Broncos, as you alluded to. It lends itself to possibly having the bottom fall out, very much like how teams in the past for the Miami Dolphins did, you know, in the early 2000s and things of that nature. So that being said, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not very good. We are playing at home. I really do expect this to be a low-scoring game. Then again, I thought the Panthers-Dolphins game would be a low-scoring game. I don't see a lot of talent on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't see a ton of talent on the Miami Dolphins right now. What do you got going for this game, Chris? I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there. I'm going to say 13-7 Tampa Bay. I think they find a way to get Mike Evans involved early. I think they put enough points on the board and keep us at bay. The team seems distraught. I don't even know if they're going to score 7. Maybe I'm being a little bit optimistic by giving them 6 to 7 points. But I'm going to say Tampa Bay is going to win this game. They're going to win it by 1 or 2 scores, but it's going to be a low-scoring game at that.
24-6 Tampa, and we actually score a touchdown, but Cody Parkey gets his extra point blocked. Deshaun Jackson's going to absolutely torch us. If some no-name from Oakland can torch Rashad Jones in a tight game, Deshaun Jackson's going to have his breakout game all of a sudden because we're going to be focused on Mike Evans. Brent Grimes probably has a pick six or a sack fumble, and we're going to absolutely get embarrassed again on Sunday.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're both pessimistic right now, and I think a lot of Dolphins are too.
And I think the thing is, too, is that the entire AFC is a shit show this year. You already said it. We are like one or two positions away from having one of the top picks in the draft, but we're also one game out of the playoffs. So Here's the thing that always sucks, though. We're going to have a bad year. We're going to lose our starting quarterback to an injury. We're going to lose our starting middle linebacker, second-round pick, to an injury. We're going to lose Tony Lippett to an injury. We're going to lose offensive linemen to injuries. Larson comes back, like, you know, 6-7 games later. McDonald, 8-game suspension. You'd think we'd have, like, one win and we can get a good draft pick and really set ourselves up for the future. But no, the league sucks this year. We're going to end up being 8-8, some bullshit like that. We're going to have, like, a 17th overall pick because the entire league sucks ass. And we're never going to be able to fix ourselves. And that was always the problem for the Miami Dolphins. We always won enough to not fix what didn't get us over the hump. So we always won enough games, 9-10 games, but missed the playoffs or go and one and done. But we never lost enough games except for that one year where we went 1-15 and we picked Jake Long over fucking Matt Ryan, who's still playing in the league and going to Super Bowls. And that's the thing that kills us, man. Like, that's the thing that absolutely kills us. The Colts have one bad year, and they get fucking Andrew Luck falling into their lap. We have multiple bad years, but we're never bad enough to do anything about it.
Yeah, graduating with a C-minus average. That's the Miami Dolphins all day, every day. Well, there's only one more thing to do, Chris, and that, of course, is to spin the wheel of whatever. This has been a very impassioned, very depressed, very angry version of Perfectville, but a version of Perfectville nonetheless. So why don't you go ahead and spin the wheel, and we'll finish talking our way through this, and then we'll move on with our lives.
Alrighty, here we go. I got a lot of anger, so I'm gonna spin the shit out of this.
There it goes. That might fly right off the spindle. Fuck there
wheel.
And this is gonna be going for a while, so let me be the one to tell everyone at this point that if you would like yourself and a Rondé Bagston, you know, Chris has got about 10 of them that he's still holding, trying to give away in Charlotte, North Carolina. But if you'd like to have one for yourself, all you have to do is give us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, formerly known as iTunes. Just look for Perfectville. Just go ahead and search that into your iTunes or Apple Podcasts search menu. Find us, give us a 5-star rating and review. Go ahead and subscribe to us if you haven't already. And if you have done all that, you're already qualified. But if you haven't done that, go ahead and do that. And if you have done that, tell your friends to do it, and we'll get you another SipSack koozie. With that being said, Chris, what did the Wheel of Whatever land on this week?
Well, this is a good one, Sam, because it's not Miami Dolphins related. NFL discusses removal of Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, says he's damaging the league, per report. What the hell do you think about that, man?
It's about time. I mean, Jerry Jones has been damaging the league for about 30 years. I mean, go ask Oakland Raider fans, Jerry Jones, or Rams fans for that matter, that are in St. Louis. Jerry Jones has been the reason that these franchises have been moving here, there, and everywhere. He has been the catalyst, so much so that he's actually parodied on that show Ballers by Shooter McGavin, who plays Jerry Jones on that show and is the biggest prick in the league. But here's the thing. If it comes down to Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell, I don't know about you, Chris, but I think I'd rather have Jerry Jones stay in the league and Roger Goodell go. If it's between those two, I mean, Jerry Jones is more the NFL than Roger Goodell is, in my opinion. And if it becomes those two, Roger Goodell needs to go before Jerry Jones. But it is, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, Jerry Jones has probably been bad for the league in the long run, but pitting him up against Roger Goodell, I'm going to go with the lesser of two evils, and to me, that's Jerry Jones.
Well, I think that if you're a football fan of the current day NFL football product, you don't want Jerry Jones removed. You don't, because I think he's the type of guy, if you take the Dallas Cowboys away from him, he's going to bring everyone down with him. Like, he's going to just fucking throw shit everywhere. I'm talking about the blacklisting of Kaepernick, throwing names. He might be mentioning, concussion stuff that has been put underneath the blankets and underneath the dirt a little bit, so to speak, about knowledge of the concussions and what they're doing to people in CTE years prior to the NFL making name of it. I can see Jerry Jones absolutely bringing the entire ship down with him, and that can cause a shit show for the current NFL product if he gets removed from his position as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. That's his life, man. That's his life and soul. If you took the Cowboys away from him, I think he honestly burns the entire place down.
You know what? That sounds like fun. You've convinced me. I do want Jerry Jones gone.
Let's do it. Whee!
I want to open up the NFL diary and read all the dirty little secrets that are inside. That would be fun in the short term, of course. I mean, long term, it would be terrible for the league, and the whole league would go away, and we'd all have to be basketball fans, and that sounds like terrible.
Knowing our luck, they would discover that the NFL fined and suspended Ricky Williams for weed all those times because they wanted to keep the Miami Dolphins out of the national spotlight.
What if they found out that the NFL are the ones who are actually meddling in our election for president last year in the 2016 and not the Russians? Could you imagine? I want to know what those secrets are, man. I want to know the NFL secrets. That might be a good podcast in the future. Just come up with the NFL secrets.
Crazy conspiracy theories like us voting for the Pro Bowl is actually voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah, every vote for the J train was actually going to the DJ train. Wow. No, you know, I didn't think about that, but you're right. I think if Jerry Jones goes down, he goes down with a huge fight and probably with a gasoline tank and tries to burn the whole thing down. I mean, this could be tied up in court forever if this actually goes any further, Chris, because he does own the Dallas Cowboys, and I know that there's bylaws for the owners, but do you think he would try to fold the franchise if they were going to try to do something like that and say, screw it, you're not going to have the Cowboys. If you want a team in Dallas in the NFL, you're going to start from scratch. I'm taking my team, I'm taking my brand, and I'm going elsewhere.
Hey, I mean, that's the way he can win a bunch of championships. They'll be the CFL titles, but he can move to the CFL and randomly in Texas, the Canadian Football League. And I don't know, just imagining all these like Toronto and all these New Saskatchewan flying to Dallas to play in their division or something is almost as bad as the Miami Dolphins being in the AFC East with all these Northeast teams. But that'd be hilarious.
I mean, Dallas fans are so, I mean, football in general is so passionate in Texas that if the Dallas Cowboys did pull out of the NFL, I could see the state of Texas seceding from the United States and being and being its own country where you could
just start their own football league.
Yeah,
with
the JJFL.
Like San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston, and all this.
Yeah, Victoria, Texas, Austin, Texas. We'll just have Sweetwater, Texas, where I believe Barry Windham was from back in the day.
Their high school and college teams are so good, they can just convert to Jerry Jones's new league and they'd be competitive.
I don't want to be a part of the JJFL where the Miami Dolphins scrimmage with a high school team from Texas and fucking lose. That would be embarrassing.
We would.
Oh, my God. I don't want that. You fix this, NFL. We can't have our team losing to a high school team. I don't want to lose to Texas Bishop Prep or whatever it is that goes on in Texas
for the JJFL. Miami Dolphins. Yeah.
The Jerry Jones Football League. I'd watch it. I'm not going to lie. I would watch it. But no, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think they're going to kiss. They're going to make up. Look, here's the thing. If Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell can somehow get on the same page, then Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell can be on the same page. I mean, the bottom line is there's billionaires fighting with billionaires. I think the hope of all of us plebs is that the ground opens up and swallows both of those assholes whole. And with that being said, the ground will never swallow up and get these two assholes whole. That's because Perfectville has got a solid foundation. I was talking to Chris prior to the show, just so you guys know, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be making some changes to Perfectville. We're going to get a new paint of coat or what? No. Coat of paint. We're going to get maybe some renovations to the house, to the mayor's mansion here in Perfectville before too long. So stay tuned because we got some fun things coming up before too long. Chris, anything else you want to say before we take off here on this episode of Perfectville?
That's it. Fuck the Panthers.
Hashtag fuck the Panthers. With that being said, Chris, goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
Perfectville.